We have here another record in the checkered life. I think it was Mr. Spurgeon that referred to David's life as a checkered life. That means it was mixed. He had his joys, his mountaintop experiences, and he had his valleys of sorrow. The sweet singer of Israel experienced all these things. In this psalm, you have the cry of a man, Psalm 32, the cry of a man who had been removed from the outward ordinances of God, from the place of worship. And perhaps this psalm was penned by David on that occasion when Absalom, his own son, forced him from the throne, led a rebellion against him because he himself wanted to be king. And David, for a while, is absent from his throne, hiding out from his own son. Remember when Absalom died, was killed in battle? Remember David's reaction? Absalom, Absalom, oh my son Absalom, I wished I had died for thee. While he in this psalm and many others expresses his sorrow in his heart, yet he expresses hope in the living God. Yes, he was hurting. Yes, he was abandoned by his son. Yes, he was chased from the throne. But yet he expresses hope in his living God. In this psalm, as in many others, we have the mixture, the combination of doubts and fears, as well as faith and hope. Can both these things abide in the same soul? Can the same person experience both those things at the very same time? Absolutely. You do, don't you? Child of God. Isn't your faith mixed with doubts and fears as well, even though it's genuine? We all experience the very thing that David spoke of here. We see this mixture throughout the Psalms, all of the Psalms. And that's why they're such a great source of comfort to God's people. They read their own biography here, Lord. They can identify with them. That's why I think we're constantly drawn to the Psalms. We read these experiences and we say, that's me. I can identify with that. I know exactly what he means. I've passed through the very same thing. We find recorded here the honest confession of doubts and fears, and yet holding his ground by faith in the living God and his word of promise. For example, when David wrote these words, "My God," Psalm 22, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There's no question that he was speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord used those very words when he hung up on the cross. But it's also true that David was expressing his own heart, soul's feeling at the time, feeling forsaken of God. Verse 5 of Psalm 42 and verse 11, either one could be our text because they're almost identical. David asked this question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." David seems to have a talk with himself. Mr. Spurgeon said some of the best talks a man has is with himself. He asked the question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Cast down, but never cast out. That's the title of my message. God's people are often cast down. Our Lord promised his disciples, "In the world, not that you might have tribulation, certainly that you won't be exempt from tribulation." He guaranteed them, "In the world you shall have tribulation." But that's not the end of the story. And that wasn't the end of his words. He said, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's not all. Yes, cast down, but not forsaken. David says here, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." There's the answer, Lord, God. There's always hope in him. Our circumstances may change very quickly, but our God is immutable. Our God never changes, not in purpose, not in power, not in any attribute. Our God is always the same. As we read this morning, he's everlastingly God. Cast down, but never cast out. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 121. We'll have another example here in the 121st Psalm. Here's the remedy for a soul cast down. David says in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? And David, what do you see there? On what do you look? Look what he says in verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, that's my source of hope. That's my comfort. My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. With my eyes looking there, David can sing, Hope thou in God. Looking back to his God, he can say, I will yet praise him. I will yet hope in him. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 121. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel, or he that keepeth thee, will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Hope thou in God. Remember what David said in Psalm 73? Turn back there if you will. He says in verse 1 of the 73rd Psalm, Truly, truly, surely, verily, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. That's our God. That's our God. But as for me, see what I mean about identifying with the Psalms? There's no question God is always good, always wise, always working all things together for the good of his people. But as for me, that's another story. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. And David tells us the reason for that. He was envious at the wicked. He looked out at the wicked and he said, What good is it for me to serve God? The wicked don't serve God. God's not in their thoughts. And everything they touch prospers. He confesses on down in the Psalm, or rather verse 22 of Psalm 73. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. I changed, David said. Not always the same. Fickle, weak man. Oh, but look what he says in verse 23. He lifts up his eyes to his God. He hopes in his God. He says in verse 23, Although I was as a beast, unthankful, ungrateful, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Nevertheless, God's not cast me off, cast down, but never cast out. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. When you believe, David, when you don't. When you're faithful, when you're unfaithful. God doesn't change. That's why David says, Thou is holding me by my right hand. It's not my hold on you that determines my salvation. It's your hold on me. Verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. God's not changed his purpose. Although I was as a beast, although I temporarily took my eyes off God, although I was envious at the wicked, like beasts being fed for the slaughter, why should I envy a lost man? But David confesses that he did. Yet his God was thankful, or rather faithful. Aren't you glad that's so? Aren't you glad God's not like us? Oh, yes, I'm so glad that's so. In verse 24, Thou shalt guide me. Just as you always have, your purpose toward me hasn't changed. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. But God, but I shall yet hope in God. Not self, but God. Not the arm of flesh, but the arm of omnipotence. God, what a sweet word that is. But God. But God. Where would we be if it wasn't but God? Would there be one sinner converted if it wasn't but God? Would anyone have a hope of glory if it wasn't but God? God wise in counsel and plenteous in mercy. Are you back in Psalm 121? David goes on to say in this psalm at verse 4, he said he has lifted up his eyes, and then in verse 4 he says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Our God doesn't. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. When I read that this afternoon, I thought of a time in the life of the disciples. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 26. I want you to turn there. Matthew chapter 26. Our Lord has begun to trod the winepress alone. He takes with Him three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And He says, watch here and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch with me. And He goes further. First, the 11 enter the garden. 8 are left. And He takes 3, Peter, James, and John. And they can't go with Him all the way. And He, verse 39 or verse 38, He said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And He went a little further, and He fell on His face and prayed, saying, we've never seen our Master, our Savior, act this way. Not in life. The shadow of the cross was already eclipsing His holy, pure, sinless soul. Oh, my Father, verse 39, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, this cup of holy wrath, this cup that I must drink, this cup to satisfy divine justice, this cup of being made sin, our holy Lord looked into it and He said, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Exceeding sorrowful. And yet He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What a Savior. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. He that keepeth Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. They couldn't watch with Him 1 hour. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then, for the final time, cometh He to His disciples and saith unto them, this is the picture I want you to see. Sleep on now and take your rest. There's a pause there. You can't tell it from the verse. And I don't know how long a pause it was. But do you see this picture? There's the sleeping disciples, and there's the faithful shepherd of His sheep. He that David said shall never slumber nor sleep. Ever faithful, ever watchful, ever caring. Here you see the great shepherd of the sheep faithfully setting, watching over His sleeping disciples. Sleep on now and take your rest. And then after this, He said, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, and He wakes them. Arise, let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray me. The faithful shepherd will bring all His chosen to glory. Look at another picture right after this. When He says, arise, let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray me. Look in John chapter 18. You have this picture too, where Judas the traitor leads a band of soldiers, chief priests, Pharisees, to that place that he knew our Lord often resorted to. And our Lord went there that night, knowing everything that should come upon him. Look at verse 4 of John 18. Another picture of the great shepherd of the sheep. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus, therefore, verse 4, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. Went forth, leading the way. And said unto this mob, this bloodthirsty mob, whom seek ye? He knew why they were there. He knew who they came to seek. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. He asked the question so he could identify himself. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said a second time, Jesus of Nazareth. I told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, I like these words, don't you? If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. I'm the shepherd, the good shepherd, that lays down his life for the sheep. If you seek me, my sheep go free. And you see the analogy. He steps forward and takes that cup that he prayed, Father, if I must drink it, thy will be done. He takes the cup of God's wrath. He steps forward to divine justice. And he says, you seek me? Here I am. Here I am. Awake, O sword, against the man who is my fellow, against my anointed, smite the shepherd. If it's me you seek, let these go their way. All glorious substitute. Faithful shepherd. Verse 9. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake. Of them which thou gavest me, I've lost none. No wonder David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? I will yet praise God. I shall yet hope in my God. The great shepherd watching over his sheep. The great shepherd taking the place of his sheep. In Scripture he said, I'm the good shepherd. Peter said he's the chief shepherd. The writer of Hebrews said he's the great shepherd of the sheep. And every one of these individually are a glorious thought. But he's all of those things. But in addition to that, for the believer, he's my shepherd. Yes, he's the good shepherd. Yes, he's the chief shepherd. And yes, he's the great shepherd. But all these together, and he's my shepherd. What a comforting thought that must have been to young David. When sitting on a hill overlooking his sheep, the flock of his father, knowing what was involved, he thought of his God. And he wrote, oh, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He does everything for me. He keeps me and cares for me and holds me by his hand. The Lord is my shepherd. One songwriter wrote, I am his and he is mine forever. Once I'm his forever. Isn't that a blessed thought? Nothing from his love can sever. My sheep are in my hand. No man, no one can pluck them out. They're mine. The Father gave them to me, and I took them. They're my bride, and I'm their bridegroom. And I'll go redeem them. I'll live for them, and die for them, and arise and intercede for them. I'll do everything for my bride. His forever. David said, yes, why are you cast down, O my soul? For I shall yet praise him. That's a good question, isn't it? Why art thou cast down? Well, because of my circumstances, David would say. Oh, but your God hasn't changed, David. David could say, my son hates me, and he's rebelled against me. But then he would say, hope thou in God, because he's loved me with an everlasting love. He'll never wrong me. He'll never be unfaithful to me. He'll never cease to love me with a mighty love. No wonder the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, that one who leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, no wonder he wrote in his first epistle, behold, behold. You want to see a sight. You want to consider something astounding, something marvelous, something glorious. Behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called. We should be called what? The sons of God. I read one commentator who said when the old writers were copying the scriptures and came to that, they said, that can't be right. That can't be right. It should say servants of God, not sons of God. Are you sure that's a correct translation? And they were assured that it was, because they were astounded by that fact. Just as John exhorted, behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called, Lord Rogers, a son of God. Behold, what kind of love is this? I think Bobby sang not long ago about the love of God. Oh, how great, how vast the love of God. It is so sweet to trust in Him. Just to take Him at His word. I shall yet praise God, David said. Cast down temporarily. Oh, but never cast out. Thou hast held me by thy right hand. Trust is sweet, isn't it? To be able just to repose, to rest, to trust. Freedom from doubts and suspicions and anxiety. That's a sweet frame to be in, is it not? Hope thou in God, David said. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. It'll never, never happen. Preceding those words in Hebrews 13, we're told, be content with such things as ye have. Be content. And the reason he gives, the only reason he gives is this. For he hath said, our Lord, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. And the one who made that blessed promise is all. Christ is all, and we're complete in Him. What a grounds for contentment. I remember reading, I think, in a sermon by Mr. Spurgeon about an elderly woman, a believer, was a widow living alone. She sat down to what appeared to be just a meager meal, not much there at all. And she looked at it and said, oh my, all of this and Christ too. And she was thankful. And she gave thanks. He will never cast us out. Will never leave us nor forsake us. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I know these are familiar passages to you. That's all right. It'll do us good to look at them again. I don't think we can hear them too much. Do you? Especially when we're prone like David to be cast down and to doubt these things. In John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise, no way, under no circumstance, cast out. Never. I'll never cast him out. For I came down from heaven for this very purpose, for them, for those the Father give me. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I'll never cast out one that comes to me. You're proof of it, aren't you, believer? You came. You came with doubts and fears and sin and burdens, and he never cast you out, did he? And he hasn't since. Oh no, far from it. Far from it. Instead of casting out this sinner, there was rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented, one prodigal that came back home to the Father's house. Indeed, that's amazing. Are you still in John? Look in chapter 9. The blind man has been healed by our Lord. He's called before the Sanhedrin to give an account. Who did this? And he would just tell him, well, I can tell you this. I once was blind, but now I see. Look at verse 34. They'd heard about all of that they wanted to hear. They answered and said unto him, John 9 and 34, thou wast altogether born in sins, like they weren't. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Cast him out. Oh, but the great shepherd of the sheep knew all about it. He had arranged it. They cast him out so our Lord could gather him in. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Remember what David said, hope thou in God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. I believe. What a miracle of God's grace granted this poor man faith. He believed, and he worshiped him, the great shepherd of the sheep, another trophy of his matchless grace, another demonstration of his ability to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Is that still true? Is that still true? Is he still able to save unto the uttermost? Absolutely. His precious blood has lost no power to save. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Paul is on his way to Rome. He's under arrest even now on ship as a prisoner on his way to Rome. A fierce storm arises. The ship looks like it's going to sink. And Paul stands in the midst of these 276 people on board. And he says in verse 20 of Acts 27, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, can you see the apostle? These men are cringing in fear of death. And listen to what Paul says. He believed God. Sir, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. How refreshing, how encouraging. Paul says, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. And on down in the chapter, he tells them, take meat and eat. And he eats in front of them. He says, you don't need to fast any longer. It's going to be well with us because I believe God. There's nothing spiritual about being gloomy and pessimistic all the time, is there? Having a down-in-the-mouth attitude all the time. Paul said, be of good cheer. He was on that ship, but he said, be of good cheer because I believe God. Like Paul, those who honor God are those who believe God. And before him, they live like it, cheerful, with cheerful hearts and joyous attitude, as though they really did believe such promise as this. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yes, like David, we experience heartache and grief, but we still have all the reason, as Paul said, be of good cheer. And as David said, hope in God, and the saying, it is well with my soul. Some professing Christians seem to act as though serving God was painful. You see them and it seems like their shoes are too tight or something and they're in pain. Woe is me. Woe is me. All the time. Paul says, be of good cheer. It doesn't matter. I hear people or read a lot about the coming election. And folks, to profess to know God just to seem to be in a tizzy. Oh, woe is us. If that man gets in again, it's all over. Well, wait a minute now. God's still on the throne, isn't he? Whether it's him or somebody else. An old friend used to tell me, one monkey don't run no show. God's still on the throne. He's still in control. Be of good cheer. On the sea that night, when the disciples crossed over to the other side without their Lord, and that storm arose, they see Him walking on the water. And remember what He said. It is I. It is I. Be not afraid. In every providence that God sends us, that sends our way, every storm, every trial, every heartache, may God give us grace to hear the words of our Redeemer. It is I. This is not an accident. It is I. I've sent the storm. Be not afraid. In reading the Psalms, you'll find that when a psalm begins with an expression of sorrow, it always ends with an expression of joy concerning God's goodness or God's faithfulness. A psalm may begin with sorrow, but they always end with joy. As David himself wrote, weeping may endure through the night, but that's not all, is it? Weeping may endure through the night. And it will. It will. Many a night, many a tear, many a wet pillow. And it seems like the daylight will never come. Weeping may endure through the night, but, bless God, but that's not all. But joy cometh in the morning. Why? Because but God, but grace, but glory, but salvation, joy cometh in the morning. Nothing we do in this world honors God more than simply to believe Him. As Paul stood on that ship, on that storm-tossed sea, he said, be of good cheer. I believe God. David said, I shall yet praise God. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. That's the theme here as well. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Casting all your care upon Him, we read in Hebrews, for He, or rather Peter, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. When I was a kid, boy, still at home, with four brothers and four sisters, the last time we were all together was, you know where, up that hollow. My oldest brother, we were living there when he joined the Navy. And one by one, we drifted away, but I remember living up there with all those brothers and sisters. And my father never did have a job that paid a whole lot. But I never recall, Lord, one time laying in bed worrying and fretting, am I going to be fed? Am I going to be clothed? It never crossed my mind. I was as carefree as I could be. Why? Because I thought, Mom and Dad love me. They'll take care of that. That's in their hands. And remember what our Master said. Remember what He said. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be concerned about what you'll eat or where or what you'll put on. After all these things that the Gentiles see, your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Don't fret. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 20, and we'll close this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. John writes and says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Oh, in light of that, how precious are these words of our Lord. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life, and you'll never be cast out." God bless you.